historically, wellness is something that you buy for yourself because, you know, it's so personal. You don't really know what to gift a friend in terms of their health needs.
Welcome to Honest E-Commerce, a podcast dedicated to cutting through the BS and finding actionable advice for online store owners. I'm your host, Chase Clymer, and I believe running a direct-to-consumer brand does not have to be complicated or a guessing game. On this podcast, we interview founders and experts who are putting in the work and creating real results. I also share my own insights from running our top Shopify consultancy, Electric Eye. We cut the fluff in favor of facts to help you grow your e-commerce business. Let's get on with the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Honest E-Commerce. I've got a fun one for you today. We already got into too much fun stuff before we started to press record, so I just had to stop us in our conversation. I'm super excited to welcome to the show Sizu Okusa. She is the founder and CEO of Apothecary. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Chase, for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm really excited to chat.
Oh, I'm excited to chat. So, for those that are unfamiliar with the brand, can you quickly just talk about what are the types of products you guys are bringing to market? What are you selling online these days?
Yeah, sure. So Apothecary is what we call Mother Nature's Pharmacy. So it's very simple. We are Mother Nature's Pharmacy in that we provide clean, natural, herbal, Eastern remedies as an alternative to Western over-the-counter supplements. We're talking melatonin, laxatives, energy drinks, coffee, wine, literally kind of everything that's like a very quick fix and really getting to the root cause of illness to get you to everyday healing.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, take me back in time. Where did the idea for this business, did you start with business or did you start with product? Like where did this start? What was going on?
That's so funny you say that. Like, it's true, right? It's not just necessarily always a business that you start with. You kind of start with like a product for maybe a solution for yourself personally that then you turn into a business. For me, I originally started my career at Goldman. So I was in Wall Street, you know, for my first job. And I think there was a series of no's through life that got me to the yeses later in life. And so when you're early on in your career, I think you do and try so many different things. I was in Wall Street. I was like, this is definitely not for me. But I did distressed investing for about 3 years and learned so much about bankruptcy and so much around how to run a bad company to then run a better company. So after 3 years, though, I then started my first company, which was called Drink, J-R-I-N-K. It was a cold pressed juice business, and I did that for 8 years. And we scaled it to like 15 storefronts, Whole Foods partnership, retail growth. But again, I didn't really want to be a restaurant owner of 15 stores because we were making smoothies and juices and all that. So we got acquired in 2019. I was very fortunate to start my next company. And so I've been in wellness as an entrepreneur for about 12 years at this point. And Apothecary kind of really started when I had my aha moment of walking through the aisles of CVS and Walgreens. And it was very clear to me that A, everything was in plastic bottles, in pill form, with ingredients that we don't recognize. And you just kind of realize that this shift in better for you food and grocery hasn't happened in pharmacy. And so that was kind of my first aha moment, which then I went home and bought all these herbs for my juice shop and then started to make these smoothies for the other company that were like very superfood dense, using food as medicine. Again, this is like 2014, 15. This is long before food as medicine became like a clear trend. But then after 2019 kind of happened and I was starting to formulate these and really kind of think about how, you know, everybody in the world is probably shifting towards better for you medicine and better for you supplementation. That's really when this aha moment happened. And I said, okay, let's start a real apothecary that has existed at least for 5,000 years in Eastern medicine and bring that in a very Western approachable and accessible way. And so we were born in January of 2020, right before COVID. And we can kind of talk about that, I think, for a long time, actually. It's just a crazy journey. Yeah.
I think that, unfortunately, COVID is going to be a topic of a lot of the podcasts that I have because it is such a growth moment or such a just lightning in the pan moment for some brands to get out of that flywheel and stuff. And I really want to get to that. But at first, I want to talk about, like, you launch in January of 2019. What does that mean? Do you go to market with one product? Do you have your first drop? And how long were you working on this beforehand?
Yeah. So the e-commerce launch was in January of 2020. But before then, in 2019, we were bootstrapping a fundraise and then we opened a storefront. We actually opened a mini store as like a concept. It was very witchy. It was very like crystals and skulls and like Palo Santo and herbs, kind of like a very old school witchy apothecary. But we at least learned that like customers wanted that and they wanted these products. We had like five products. We had like a slay all day, chill the F out, follow your gut, like very basic adaptogen blends. And we kind of coupled that with some retail offerings. But again, like that was how we kind of mirrored the UX and the experience that we would have digitally. So like what questions people were asking, how they were buying, what they were looking at. And we mirrored that for the e-commerce site before we officially launched that in January of 2020. But again, like we also did a rebrand this past July. So like that was not really the perfect iteration when we first launched either.
Awesome. Let's talk about that launch and launching into COVID. So I know there are a lot of listeners out there right now that are about to launch or they have launched. And the age-old question is, how did you get your first customers?
Yeah, I mean, so we were pretty fortunate that we had that store originally when we opened. And so we always think about proof of concept for others to buy. And so it's so simple. And selling e-commerce and selling a product is so simple. It's one is like, get someone to buy it, get them to buy it again, and make them tell their friends to buy it. That's literally it. And so that first piece was already done with like the store. So getting them to then buy again digitally was the second piece, and then getting them to tell their friends digitally to then come back to Apothecary. So we really doubled down on a referral. We doubled down on retargeting, and we really, really doubled down on email. So that was really our first kind of real marketing push. And it continues to be to this day, is to acquire first party data. So emails, SMS became a later thing, but emails was always the number one thing of like how we grew our marketing funnel and then creating lookalike audiences to get more of those similar people. And that flywheel just has continued to make us grow over the last 4 years.
That's amazing. So you took the data that you were getting from people in person in that first store to then you used that in building out your lookalike audiences in the first launch?
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
That's amazing. And very detailed to the point where people, this is how it works sometimes. It's that simple.
It's quite simple in terms of buying behavior, but in practicality, I think most people go just directly to paid and kind of guess their demographic. But I think I've been pretty surprised with our demographic. It's much older than people expect. We're like in the 40s to 60s is like the core demographic. It's not the like millennial Gen Z that I think everyone may assume.
So let's talk about post-launch. So you launch this, COVID happens. What does that do to the business? And, you know, where does COVID end up for you?
Yeah. So we were 2.5 people in January of 2020. At the end of December 2020, we were 18 people. And so that, you know, might not seem like a huge growth in absolute numbers, but it was a huge struggle to kind of like to get the people and meet them and then understand like the remote culture and period in general, because we were always kind of an in-person team and then all of a sudden totally isolated. And so we now fast forward even to today, we're fully remote and we're, you know, we have employees in Philippines, Taiwan, US and Canada. And so we're completely remote and we've really embraced that culture. But for the initial sort of 2020 launch in COVID, I mean, our facility was in Virginia. I was living in New York. And I couldn't even get back to DC at the time or back to Virginia. And so there was a constant sort of like FaceTime and like how to pack the orders, how to scale up the production, because we were doing fulfillment also in-house. So we didn't have a 3PL either. But I think that actually saved us, because what happened was in May of 2020, when people really got shut down and locked in their homes, that's when the company exploded. That's the time when people were like, we need to buy everything and anything that is healthy to make us feel good and potentially save us from COVID. And we literally like, I think we like grew 20x overnight, and we didn't actually have a clear understanding of how that happened literally overnight. And then that continued to happen through 2020. And then 2021, after the iOS changes, a lot of things had changed at that point.
Absolutely. And I've been lucky enough to interview a lot of brands on this podcast. And it's during the pandemic, you saw a lot of just explosion in certain categories that go directly to just psychology and Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And so safety was one of the first ones there. People need to feel safe. And it obviously, you saw a huge growth online with anything that had anything to do with being healthy.
Yeah, it's so true. That's actually really true. But it's also, you know, I think we quickly knew though, towards the end of 2020, there were sort of different trends happening. It wasn't just about health. It got very specific into mental health. And I think even to this day, you know, the mental health piece has continued to be such a big part of this business that people didn't really even talk about yet in 2020. I don't think we talked about the mental health sort of impact and stress of working from home and overworking until like later in 2021.
Absolutely. Well, you saw this explosion in growth. How did Shark Tank come into the picture?
Yes. Oh my God. So Shark Tank reached out again. So they originally do their screenings in like January or February. And so this was pre-COVID. And I applied and I was like, oh, it's totally fine. Like I'm never going to get interviewed. And I like totally assumed nothing. And then April came around and they were like, you got a random email of like, hey, we want you to submit again, like your pitch. So that's how like Shark Tank works, is like you pitch yourself to the producers to show like entertainment value, or that like you can pitch and you have some entertainment like personality. So of course I was very audacious and like pitch this video over video. And then fast forward in August, they were like, we want you to come out. And because LA was in shutdown, we actually got flown to Vegas. And Vegas was where Shark Tank was filmed during 2020 of COVID. So they took out the entire hotel of the Palazzo. And we were isolated in our hotel rooms for like 11 days. Literally, no joke, like 11 days. Could not escape to even go outside to get ice. You had to be in your room. There were no COVID tests. So you just had to be isolated. And so that experience was like kind of crazy, because we were like, kind of doing the display, trying to figure out where everything was going to go, all virtually and through FaceTime. And then understanding like the production of the day and all again through FaceTime. And so, you know, we pitched officially of September, I think it was like 13th. I still remember this to this day. It was a Sunday at 5 a.m. And I go downstairs and we pitched to all four of the sharks. And then, you know, we got two offers. It hasn't aired to this day. I don't even know if it'll ever air, frankly. We never know. And they'll just email you like 2 or 3 weeks prior. But we were fortunate enough that we got two deals, and it was an opportunity that like I'll truly never forget. I think I like collapsed on the floor after the entire show kind of filming was done. It was an hour and a half. But they cut it down to like 15 minutes. It was crazy.
Yeah, it's been interesting to learn so much about Shark Tank. And you think it's just like these things are dialed, it's 13 minutes and they're just throwing out money. It's like, no, a whole episode takes a very long time.
It does, yeah. But the diligence on the after effect is very light. I actually like, we had like one or two emails and that was kind of it.
That's amazing. And then was it, it's interesting to me that you wrote this email and your pitch worked so well without what I know this from the show is they're always asking about like, that sounds great. What about the numbers? And it's, you know, so what numbers did you have? Was it all projections on the first round? Obviously things had changed on the second.
Yeah, it was all projections. And it was kind of like, because we were also growing so fast, by the time that this would air, I actually felt really horrible. Because by the I remember at the time we were pitching for a $5 million valuation and we were asking for like $250K. And we got that deal. But then after I got off the show, I remember being in such regret, because I was like, did I just give up X percent of my company, knowing that like our revenue that year was going to be 5, not the valuation should be 5. And so I felt like I just felt horrible. I remember that. And, but luckily looking back, I mean, the deal we didn't actually sign anything afterwards. You don't have to sign anything. It's not an obligation. It was like an entirely life experience. And I feel very fortunate to this day to have had that experience. Yeah, and the photos and the videos, and it's more for the team than anything.
Hey there, merchant. Are you tired of trying to navigate the wild world of e-commerce on your own? Are you looking for a partner to help you achieve your goals? Look no further than the Shopify Plus agency, Electric Eye. Our team has a proven track record of helping our clients make millions with strategic design and development. Whether you're migrating from a legacy platform to Shopify, designing a new theme for your store, or just looking to optimize what you already have, Electric Eye is the perfect partner for you. Electric Eye are true Shopify experts. Not only is our Shopify knowledge unparalleled, but we have partnerships with all the best tech in the Shopify ecosystem. And don't worry, we're easy to get a hold of. Our clients rave about our fast communication. So here's the deal. If you're an e-commerce business doing over $1 million a year, you can receive a complimentary Shopify diagnostic from our team of experts. That's free, personalized, strategic recommendations to improve your store and grow your business. To get started, head on over to electriceye.io/connect to schedule an intro call with one of our experts. That's electriceye.io/connect. Today's episode is sponsored by IntelliGems, the ultimate A/B testing and profit optimization platform for Shopify merchants. You're investing tons of time and money to drive traffic to your store, but are you doing everything you can to convert that traffic into profits? With IntelliGems, you can stop guessing and start making strategic decisions. IntelliGems platform enables you to A/B test everything from themes to pricing so you can understand what makes your customers tick and click. Whether you're tweaking your UX, testing prices and offers, or trying out different shipping rates, IntelliGems provides real-time insights that can directly influence your store's profitability. Join the ranks of over 1,000 Shopify stores that are already maximizing their potential with IntelliGems. Setup is quick, and the results are undeniable. If you're not experimenting, you're leaving money on the table. It's that simple. Elevate your e-commerce strategy today. Visit intelligems.io/honest-e-commerce and use code honest-e-commerce for 10% off your first month. You can also find IntelliGems on the Shopify App Store and get a 7-day free trial. You've had some very unique experiences with your business. Let's talk about getting hacked.
God, I love this. So that happened actually a month before Shark Tank. So this was in August of 2020. And by the way, so I actually moved to California during COVID time because when I was filming for Shark Tank, I just decided to stay out there. But in August of 2020, we randomly, like, I was still running the Instagram because again, like, we were like three people at the time. And then one day I couldn't log in and I checked the hi@apothecary.co email, which is like our customer service email. And there was like one email in there that's from Instagram saying your username changed. And then another email that says your email has changed to your Instagram. And usually now when that happens, you can log in and just like confirm that if that was you or not you. But back then, by the time I did that, they already changed the email on me. So like I couldn't even confirm that wasn't me. And so then when I went to Instagram, our account was gone. And I think like an hour later, we got an email from like a random Gmail account. It said Annie Hirla, H-I-R-L-A. I was like, who is this? And it said, held for ransom. That was the subject line. Great subject line, held for ransom. And it said, we want 100 Bitcoin in exchange for your account. And there was a screenshot. And I'm happy to send this to you because it's hilarious. I still look back on this. There's a screenshot of like our account in black and in Russian. And it had our account in Russian. And I was like, this is crazy. And I called any friends that I had from like the Pentagon in DC. And I was like, what do I do? Like, is this worth me paying? Because we had 60,000 followers already at that time. And that's no joke. It was like literally my sweat and blood of like everyday posting. And it's social proof. It matters. And so we ended up not paying. And then we ended up not getting the account back. And so I don't know one way or the other what the right answer was, but I had to just trust my gut instinct that this, I don't know if I'll ever see this money again. And I'm glad that we never got it back. But to this day, I still get random people emailing me that like they got hacked. And like wanting advice. And I think Instagram at this point now has seen enough of these cases that it's become commonplace to give it back and like ensure this doesn't happen. But back then we were one of the first companies, two-factor really wasn't a thing. Now it's everywhere. But yeah, that was also part of PTSD accumulation.
Yeah, I think that the main takeaway here is if you are a social first brand, make sure you have two-factor turned on for everything.
1,000%. Yes, 1,000%.
Oh, that's amazing. So let's get back to the business. We talked about these fun stories. So you guys are growing rapidly. You do Shark Tank. And, you know, that honestly doesn't even have a factor because it never airs. You know, let's go back to how are you growing the business? Are you guys focused on direct consumer? Does the kind of in-person experience still exist anymore?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're 3.5 years in from like all that craziness, and we've had a number of continued craziness over the years. But, you know, looking back, I mean, it's made this company so much more resilient, I think, coming out of the pandemic, because we've seen so much around shipping and port delays. And, you know, all of our ingredients come from Asia or abroad. And so it's not necessarily all domestically made. I think what we've learned over time is like diversity in terms of supply chain, diversity in terms of co-packers, diversity in terms of employees, just like everything. So I think to this day, 3.5 years later, I mean, we're looking to do around $25 million in revenue this year. And it's been a crazy experience to kind of get there. And I think that, you know, our team is also like 45 people to today. And we've made plenty of mistakes, both on hiring and expenses that we probably didn't have to do. But I think our flywheel now, after many experiences and tests, is finally like concrete. It's like always focused on email and owned media. And then we layer on top affiliate and PR on top of that, and then obviously paid. But the paid is like, paid isn't always, but it's never efficient without all the other top of funnel stuff. The top of funnel is always a question mark after iOS had changed. And so we layer on top affiliate and PR, and that's been such great social proof. And then the email and the earned helps with the middle of funnel, and then paid is kind of like the conversion focus. And so that has been sort of like our natural sales funnel cycle now to this day. And we have about, I think, 600,000 emails and about 100,000 SMS people to this day. And it continues to grow through the holiday season. So yeah, that will always, I think, be a big part of what we do.
That's amazing. And one of the first things that we talked about before we started to record was, obviously, we're recording this the day after Cyber Monday 2023. And you said that there were some interesting things that happened just this week.
Yeah. We have definitely, so historically, wellness is not really a gifting product. Historically, wellness is something that you buy for yourself because, you know, it's so personal. You don't really know what to gift a friend in terms of their health needs. And so what we are seeing this year, though, I mean, we're seeing 170% year-over-year growth just through this Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend. And what we're seeing is people are gifting wellness, which is a major trend in my mind of like, that says so much, I think, about the consumer and where they're at, and also how they're spending now. Because if you're gifting wellness, it comes, I think, a little bit more thoughtfully than just buying someone socks or like a hat or another backpack. It's something that people use to take care of themselves, to cut out alcohol, to focus on your stress and your sleep. So it shows a lot of depth and thoughtfulness that I don't think necessarily in the past we have seen. But if anything, it's an early indicator for our January, because January for wellness is the biggest month. It's new year, new you. And so it comes at like a very big moment for us. But from an operational capacity, I mean, we've completely kind of like broke the facility. So there's just boxes everywhere. I'll show you a photo and video after. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. But we've hit new records, and we're very proud of the team.
Well, no, I'm excited for your growth as well. We've talked about quite a lot today. Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you think would resonate with our audience?
I mean, I always think the fundraising environment is such a top of mind thing for founders. You know, I've invested in 12 early stage companies to this point. And I think everyone is fundraising right now, you know, and it's a really challenging environment. And I would just say that, like, have a very clear focus on who you want to get investors in, because, you know, the historical, like, please send my blurb around and BCC everyone does not work anymore. I think it has to be very one-on-one. Like, please send this to Chase because Chase has this, this, and this experience. And I think I could really get a lot of value as him as an investor. And they're much more likely to convert. And so you have to think about your fundraising strategy almost very similar to your sales strategy for the consumer acquisition cycle. And so I think of that as like just general founder advice for anyone looking to launch a brand and kind of get some money in the door, and be really strategic also about debt capital.
Oh, that's amazing advice. Shizu, thank you so much for coming on today and being one of the most honest guests we've had thus far. So I truly appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll have you back on next year or something like that. Where should people go if they're curious about this product that you are so passionate about, if they want to go check it out and support you?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some great products. We have like Stop Your Whining, which is our number one SKU right now, all on apothecary.co, apothecary with a K. You can also find me and the company on social media at Shizu Okusa or Apothecary Co. But thank you so much, Jay.
Awesome. And we'll link to all that stuff in the show notes below. Thank you so much.
Of course.
We can't thank our guests enough for coming on the show and sharing their knowledge and journey with us. We've got a lot to think about and potentially add into our own businesses. You can find all the links in the show notes. You can subscribe to the newsletter at honestecommerce.co to get each episode delivered right into your inbox. If you're enjoying this content, consider leaving a review on iTunes. That really helps us out. Lastly, if you're a store owner looking for an amazing partner to help you get your Shopify store to the next level, reach out to Electric Eye at electriceye.io/connect. Until next time.